Rejoice, for here is another fresh batch of truth for people seeking an antidote to Hollywood bullshit. My name is Leslie Gornstein. I am your host for the Fame Fatale podcast, the show that takes your questions about how Hollywood really works and how often Hollywood portrays real life correctly. With me this week is the super duper chill Clint Wells. Say hello.
Hello.
He is speaking to you from Chill City, New Mexico. Wells is what we call a high value asset to this show. If there's something shooting in the ABQ, he knows about it. And sometimes if I'm very good, he tells me about it. And as a favor to the show, Wells has been playing that new Kim Kardashian Hollywood game, and he'll have a review later in the episode. Hi, Clint.
Hello.
Hello. I hear you may have gotten some dish on the new Better Call Saul shooting.
Well, possibly. It's been shooting around where I work a lot, and then I've forgotten what the location sign is, and I'm sure your listeners know what a location sign is, but it kind of indicates secretly what is being filmed. And I drove by a location today on the way home from lunch, but the film office, as I was telling you here in the ABQ, basically refuses to give me any answers anymore because they know I have friends.
Friends like me.
Friends like you.
You know,
potentially.
Potentially. Supposedly you have friends like me.
Allegedly.
See, that's amazing because I didn't think anybody listened to me. So somebody at the ABQ film office must know that I exist. That's awesome.
All they would say was people are filming things and there are probably actors there.
Oh, wow. We're so important now.
I know. It was at a mortuary, so it could be Better Call Saul. That's what kind of made it interesting.
A mortuary?
Yeah.
So now you've heard it here first. There's going to be a mortuary scene. I'm breaking news. Also, later on in the show, another entry in our newest segment, Things I Learned from Watching The Strain. But first, let's get to one of my listeners' questions. Clint.
Mickey N. asks via the Twitters, in light of recent celebrity deaths, do magazines have spreads already done? Do they prep these in advance? How do they choose who to prep?
Not only magazines do this, but also newspapers, major blogs, and definitely wire services. Wire services are infamous for having a bank of obits at the ready, in case any kind of rickety-looking celebrity dies. And how do they know which stars to choose? Well, I worked at a wire service once, as well as a newspaper or two, and I will tell you that at least one of these outlets, at the beginning of every year, the obit editor or whoever was in charge of obits would circulate an email seeking suggestions from the newsroom on who is looking the most rickety right then and there. Who's most likely to die in the next 365? Oldness was the biggest factor, but, you know, Lindsay Lohan was always suggested, any known abuser of drugs, anybody who just seemed on a downward slide, just generally janky looking, kind of busted looking, that kind of a thing. The editor would collect these suggestions and make sure that the obit writers had at least a blurb or two ready in the event of that star's death. Another approach they would take is they would set up a bunch of files, like blank stories with sort of a headline saying, you know, Bob Hope dies or whatever. And then underneath, they would have a template. And oftentimes that template was based on the Queen Mother and her death. So for example, when Dick Cheney was on CNN, CNN.com infamously reported that Dick Cheney was dead at one point. And the draft obit was accidentally published, and it had been based on the Queen Mother, so it described Cheney as queen consort and the UK's favorite grandmother.
That's not the time to find these things out.
No, it's not. But you know what? He is my favorite grandmother.
Oh, well.
George W. Bush, H.W. Bush was erroneously reported dead at one point. You know, his obit was accidentally... You just hit the wrong button, basically. You hit the wrong send button. Sharon Osbourne. There was a draft obit of her that was actually accidentally published on the ABC News website owing to a technical error. Now, why Sharon Osbourne? Well, you remember circa 2004 was when she was talking about fighting colon cancer. Steve Jobs, you know that they were working on an obit for a while for him. Bloomberg accidentally published a 17-page obituary.
Oh,
oops.
Online or in paper?
If it's Bloomberg, it would have started off online because Whoa. Bloomberg is a wire service.
Right.
So it would have gone on a wire first. So this happens all the time. All the time. So if there's any star out there that you think is looking particularly deathly, probably the AP has a shell of a bio on that person. if the person is particularly old, they probably have a shell of a bio. I'm sure they've got bios on George H.W. Bush already. I'm sure that those obits are just sitting there.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
So does some college intern, are they in charge of kind of updating facts as they happen in the established obits?
You know, usually it's more like the beat reporter's job. So like if I cover presidential politics, it's my job to be feeding those obits. Like if something major happens.
Saying,
yeah.
Make sure you include this in the obit.
Right. Like if something major happens, then, you know, like if he, I don't know, gets married again or something, and, you know, or the wife dies, you want to make sure that the obit doesn't say he survived by a wife. So those things will, they'll go into the file and update that. But usually, it's usually the beat reporters who do that, at least in some places.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. And like I said, sometimes there is no real bio or obit. It's just the shell and the text is the queen mother. And then they just hit delete on the queen mother stuff and start typing just so there's a file they can open.
Too funny.
It is too funny. America's favorite grandmother, UK's favorite grandmother, always funny.
Also Dick Cheney.
Also Dick Cheney. So ask another question, please.
Todd asks via the Femme Fatale website, how much did Vin Diesel make for doing the one line in Guardians of the Galaxy, I am Groot?
Now, it doesn't sound like you've seen this movie.
No, I haven't. I actually turned down an offer to go see this movie.
And why is that?
I told my friend, I'm sorry, if it involves a raccoon as a superhero, I'm probably not interested.
What if he's a tragic superhero?
And it's a raccoon?
Yeah.
Well, raccoons are bitches, man. You don't want to, they're not going to be sad.
Well, what if they were experimented on by scientists against their will?
No.
That doesn't do anything for you.
No. And wasn't the raccoon Bradley Cooper?
Yes, but let's just set that aside for a minute. Let's talk about the heart of granite that you have, that you will not sympathize with animals who undergo lab tests.
Well, if
you hate animals that much, I think that this is where you need to start talking about it.
Okay. I don't know what to say.
It's because I'm It's because I just nailed you.
But raccoons are thieves. They're not going to be superheroes. They're
Let me tell
stealing.
You, there are some redeeming.
They wear those little masks.
There are some redeeming qualities about raccoons. I'm going to tell you about one of them.
Okay.
We have some security cameras around our house. One of them points toward a sidewalk outside of our garage door. And occasionally, motion sensors are what sets it off. So at night, if something is seen walking by, the motion sensor will trip and the camera will take a moving image. We've seen raccoons several times out there.
They're probably trying to break in.
But this is the good part. They use the sidewalk.
Oh, they're polite and they're breaking in.
They're extremely civilized. There was one piece of footage where it was just the raccoon just walking, just a lone raccoon walking, and he never, ever strayed from the sidewalk. And then there was another piece of footage of two raccoons walking in a little line only on the sidewalk. Huh. I mean, does that give you pause at all?
I guess. Did you see the creepy video of raccoons eating Fritos? It was like 100 raccoons that a mutual friend posted on the Facebook.
No.
It was like a gang. I was just scared for the guy. I was waiting for the raccoons to just jump on top of the cameraman and devour him alive.
Wow.
I'll show you the video. Maybe you can share it with your listeners.
Maybe those are country raccoons versus our city raccoons, which are civilized.
Possibly. Ill-mannered.
All right. So here's the question. The question was, how much did Vin Diesel make for voicing that one line in Guardians of the Galaxy? I am Groot. So Clint, let me brief you here. That's the only thing that the giant tree character can say in this movie is I am Groot. But he has an emotional range. So the character may be saying I am Groot, but it means different things at different points during the movie. Do you follow me so far?
So there's a number of ways of saying I am Groot.
Right. And they all express anger or sadness or whatever.
Gotcha.
But the only line is I am Groot. Now, I spoke to supercasting director Bonnie Gillespie.
She's been on the show.
She's been on the show and she is really, really plugged into this kind of thing. Some people, there is a number floating around on the internet that is $50,000. That is probably not true. We know that Diesel probably did not get anything near that or union scale for voiceover because his name adds so much value to the project. I mean, look at how much they're using him for promotion. You don't pay somebody scale if you're going to trot him out in like Tokyo and Buenos Aires. You just don't do it. Right. Bonnie tells me, she says, from what I'm hearing, he got something between $250,000 to just under $500,000 for his participation. Now, if that sounds outrageous, let's remember, probably a few hours of recording. Yes, even though it's at only one line, he did it with a tons of different inflections and in every language, by the way, for which the film could have been bought. He does it. He's multilingual. So he actually did like, yo, soy, Groot, whatever he did. And with a Marvel project, that's a lot of languages. He also probably received bonuses if the film did well, which it already has done. So he's probably already up to $1 million now for that. Now, of course, with a star like this and a film like this, there's also all the press, the junkets, appearances, travel, for which he doesn't get paid outright. So that is also part of his job, if that makes you feel better for the fact that he probably got $1 million for saying one line.
So you're saying he'd have to pay for his travel for publicity?
Oh, yeah. He would? No. No, 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 no.
No, okay.
The studio does. The studio pays for, they pay for his travel, but the time, they don't pay him for the time.
Well, yeah, and that's valuable.
And that's valuable. So, for example, for every interview he does, the junkets he does, that's hours and hours of travel and appearances, you know, standing on a red carpet, having photos taken, doing TV talk shows, signing autographs, doing the DVD commentary, whatever, for which he probably does not get paid. He doesn't get paid outright. So I'm not saying that justifies the $1 million, but it certainly makes it more reasonable.
Well, and how much has the movie made already?
Tens of millions of dollars, way up above $100 million, I'm sure.
So they got their value.
Yeah. So they got their value. They got their money. And for that, that's great. You know, plus, they're going to want to take care of him because apparently he's going to be in some new Marvel project coming up.
So this is kind of an intro.
This is his intro, and also to say, hey, we value you. Don't screw us later because we're going to put you in something really big. You know what
I mean?
And
they can probably test his abilities.
Exactly.
Or, you know, his willingness.
His willingness to say, I am Groot.
Right.
Yes. And apparently he did a lot more readings of that line than he even needed to. Like, he kept on saying it and kept on saying it. And the director was like, no, that one was good. And he'd be like, no, I am Groot. And he loved it.
I guess I'll have to see this movie to know what the hell you're talking about.
It doesn't. I mean, if you have a problem with raccoons, I don't want to force this on you.
I can get over it.
All right. Just for the record, Clint has a problem with animals. Okay.
Not raccoons.
And now it is time for Clint's review. Clint, I understand that for the love of knowledge only, you have been playing the Kim Kardashian Hollywood game. Now, for those of you listening who are not familiar with the Kim Kardashian Hollywood game, it's a mobile game in which you play a character who, and correct me if I get this wrong, Clint, with the aid of Kim Kardashian, go from an E-list to an A-list star.
That is true, although she really didn't help that much.
Well, what do you expect? It's like a free game, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So,
well, it's not free.
Is it free to start playing?
It's free to start playing.
Right. And I recently did a report on this podcast because somebody asked me if the reports were true that this game was bringing in $240 million. And I pretty much shot that down. But then you heard that segment, Clint.
I did.
And you had to go and pick up the game. Now, why did you do that?
I really don't. I have no explanation, and I'm really embarrassed on a number of levels. Well, I'll admit that I contributed $40 to the $200 million this thing is projected. I keep getting different things. I read somewhere yesterday that $200 million was over 12 months that they expected it to make.
Mm-hmm.
And that maybe a lot of even celebrities were kind of signing up to do guest appearances inside the video game.
I don't know. I still don't think it's going to be. If you listen to my last segment, even if I projected the daily earnings over the course of 12 months, it still only got to something like half that number.
Well,
I mean, I could very easily be wrong, but
I hope there's others that have more restraint than I did.
So what is your review of this game?
Well, it's everything that's wrong with America is the overall review.
Okay. Does it have raccoons in it? Is that the problem?
No, there's a cat. There's some damn stray cat that it costs like $30 to buy. Not even Kardashian dollars, but like real dollars. You'd have to go into iTunes and, authorize a purchase.
How does purchasing a stray cat help you get to the A-list?
I drew the line with the stray cat. I did not buy the stray cat.
All right. So tell me a little bit about how this game works and what are your thoughts on it as a review?
Well, I've blacked out part of it, I guess, honestly. Let's say you show up in Hollywood on a bus and you're E-list, you're a nobody. You meet Kim Kardashian, she refers you to a manager, and then suddenly you've got two managers. And basically, they're assigning you the same project over and over and over again. It's either doing a photo shoot, showing up at a bar, to make a guest appearance, photo op type of thing. And then you also have romance challenges.
Romance challenges.
Romance challenges. You're encouraged to date people for their star power, that type of thing.
Such as Kanye West.
No, there's no like real celebrity names in it other than Kim Kardashian. It's kind of funny, and I'm gonna forget the names, but two of the photographers, one of them is clearly Patrick DeMalchier. Really well-known photographer, but obviously looks like him, and he's got, this French-sounding name. And then there's also a photographer that I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be Bruce Weber. He wears a bandana over his head. It's gray hair
Oh,
kind of
yeah.
sticking out. It's kind of schlubby, no offense. There's kind of celebrity-like people, but nobody is actually named as, somebody you would recognize.
So, according to this game, the formula for getting famous is just going to photo shoots, doing bar appearances, and dating people.
Pretty much.
There's nothing such as auditioning for a TV show.
No real talent seems to be required. I mean, I'm currently A-list. I've got 26 million followers. I'm not sure if those are supposed to be Twitter followers or Facebook followers, who these followers are. But I have not done anything of a skill. Oh, and you actually start working out. You initially start working in a clothing store. And so part of your job is to run around and fold shirts.
So, how many dates slash photo shoots slash bar appearances did you have to do to get to the A-list?
I have no idea. I'll tell you, can I tell you my biggest disappointment
Of course.
with the game? And it's kind of funny. So one of the early on photo shoots, you get a call from your manager and they say, I've got a photo shoot lined up for you, but there's a caveat. Ready? It's a nude photo shoot.
Ooh.
And you go, so you're like, okay, this is what it takes to be an A-list celebrity. So you go to your photo shoot and you go to these rooms and you click things and you have to click them five times maybe or whatever, and you use up an energy point. And sometimes you have to wait to get your energy replenished. So one of the little buttons to, kind of get your task or get your assignment is take off your clothes. And I'm like, all right, this is gonna happen. I've got six energy points to take off my clothes. And I'm really thinking, okay, I'm gonna click this six times and my clothes are gonna come off, right? I'm wearing the same damn denim jacket that I've been wearing the whole damn game. I thought I was gonna get to see my naked meme or self. No such luck.
What did you get to see instead?
Like I said, your clothes stay on. It's the same clothes you've been wearing.
So you don't even like
You don't even
symbolically
get like
change into
a
your underwear or nothing like that.
right. There's no like black bar across the bits. Nothing. You just clothes on.
And does a nude photo shoot get you closer to the A-list than a regular photo shoot?
It did, and it was interesting. It was very early on in my climbing of the ladder to A-list celebrity. I have not been asked to get naked since then. So, I think it's a little bit of life imitating Kardashian art.
Do you get different opportunities the higher you climb?
They're getting a little bit more interesting. You get celebrity appearances, so people kind of know who you are, and so people want you at their Las Vegas bar or their Miami bar. I'm trying to think what else
Is there a way to
happens.
lose star power?
Oh yeah, you can. You've kind of got this nemesis, and if you, I accidentally made a wisecrack about him to a photographer, to a paparazzi, and kind of insulted him, and it ended up in the tabloids, and I lost like 500,000 fans or something.
But I thought that beefs were the way that you stay in the news.
Well, I kind of thought so too. I was like, okay, so I'll diss this guy and, you know, maybe I'll get some points. And apparently I, maybe we had mutual fans and they went team whoever.
Now, where does the money come in? What are you spending money on?
You're encouraged to buy a lot of real estate, a lot of cars, drinking. I keep buying, one thing I do when I go to these nightlife things is I, you know, keep ordering drinks, thinking maybe I'll get blacked out drunk at one of these parties and nothing happens. You just can drink all night and apparently no consequences, which I don't think is a good lesson for the kids.
Now, does spending the money have anything to do with how quickly you reach the A-list or getting to the A-list?
A little bit. I think, you know, you can get energy sometimes from drinking, which is kind of not to be encouraged.
That's not science.
Right. And then I don't think having real estate, you know, I've got a place in Miami. I've got a place in Hollywood. I'm being encouraged to buy a place in Calabasas. I'm not going to move to the Valley.
Hey, it was good enough for Justin Bieber. It was good enough for Khloe Kardashian.
That's true. But yeah, and the other weird thing is so, you know, you're encouraged to date and date multiple people. And every single time you go on a date, it always opens with your date insulting you.
Why?
Like, I don't know. They never say you look nice. Last night, this woman said, you know, I can't believe I got all dressed up and you show up like this. Or no, she said, that was another person that said that. She said, I thought I was really depressed and then I saw you and I'm even more depressed.
So you spend $40 to get insulted.
Right. I mean,
you don't really ever get to be a real star.
Right. I mean, I'm not a real star.
You are to me.
Well, I appreciate that, Leslie.
So would you recommend this game to people?
Probably not.
Are you still playing it?
I am still playing it. I've kind of figured out. Here's the thing. You know, like a couple of days in, I was actually spending money because it would be like 1:30 in the morning and I would really want to get through this stupid level before I went to sleep. And, you know, these things are timed, so you can only be at this, you've got 3 hours to perform at this party, or, you know, you might not get as many fans. And so, you know, I did spend $9 at a time sometimes to just power through. But, you know, one thing I've learned is, you know, if you set a timer on your phone, it'll alert you when you're back to like full speed and you can just like plow through real quick and then not have to keep going on every 5 minutes. And it kind of makes sure you get this done. So
you're not obsessed at all.
What's that?
You're not obsessed at all.
I might have set the timer to wake me up at 3 o'clock yesterday morning.
Oh my God.
So I could get through an event.
Clint.
I wanted to have a 5-star date, Leslie.
Have you gotten a 5-star date yet?
Oh, yeah, they're all 5-star dates on this game.
Oh, la-di-da. Now, I'm going to move on.
Okay.
I'm going to spend a minute.
Probably for the best.
Okay, I'm going to spend a minute. Oh, by the way, if you really think that Clint needs to stop and you want to help him, Clint's going to give you his contact info later in the show.
No, I'm not.
You don't need, what about a Twitter? You're not even going to share your Twitter?
No.
Okay.
I don't even know what my, oh, yeah, I do. I know what my Twitter name is.
All right. Okay, that's fine. Clint wants to remain untouchable. Probably
I'll
best,
give it out.
No, probably best for raccoon lovers everywhere. Now, this past weekend, The Expendables 3 opened. And my editors at Yahoo came to me and said, is it possible to, in real life, hire your own expendable? And I found some real life expendables. There is a group of ex-Navy SEALs that is based out of Malibu that will, say, extract you or cargo from a pirate ship off the Ethiopian coast for a considerable fee. I actually sat down with these guys, and I asked them what their prices were. He said that to protect you from, say, an angry arms dealer who wants to kill you who lives in a banana republic for maybe a year of protection, you're looking at least $500,000. That's the floor. That's the floor. If you also want to protect your family, then it usually goes up to at least $2 or $3 million a year. But they do everything for you. They'll piracy proof your boat. They'll teach you how to defend yourself. They'll hook you up with safe rooms that actually shoot bullets out of the walls. They will do it all. But you better have money. As a matter of fact, I asked him if any actors were in their clientele, and he said most actors can't afford them.
Huh.
I thought that was pretty interesting. I'm going to say, what's that?
Are these services provided in the U.S. or primarily out of the U.S.?
They are based in the U.S. Most of their services are in the U.S., but they do travel with clients all the time. In fact, they've been, they have gone skydiving with clients, rock climbing with clients. Wherever the client goes, they go. They're that fancy.
Gotcha.
I think we now have time. I'm also going to post that link on my push post if you guys want to read my story about how to hire your own expendable in case you have $500,000 lying around. But I think we're going to end with our new favorite segment. It is called Things I Learned from Watching The Strain. Clint, do you want to alternate these?
We can.
All right. I will read the first one.
Okay.
Of course, we are speaking of the new FX series, which is the funniest unwitting comedy on television. It's called The Strain. It was created by Guillermo del Toro, and it's about a bunch of vampires, no wait, aliens, no wait, it's a virus, and it's spreading through Manhattan. Things I learned from watching The Strain. Dumping a body in broad daylight carries no risks whatsoever.
Good to know. Things I learned from watching The Strain. CDC, Centers for Disease Control scientists, need days to find a way to kill vampires. Pest controls, guys, on the other hand, need about 3 minutes.
Things I learned from watching The Strain. Turning into a vampire takes several days, unless the writer needs it to take several minutes.
Things I learned from watching The Strain. Some New York City phone booths still have intact yellow pages.
Things I learned from watching The Strain. When arrested, ask to talk to your son, but don't ask to talk to a lawyer.
Things I learned from The Strain. You can get a punk to steal a corpse for you for under a grand.
Things I learned from watching The Strain. Vampires never just walk into rooms. They scuttle, skulk, or swagger. Nothing else.
Things I learned from The Strain. A live specimen is not empirical evidence, but a cell phone video is 100% proof.
Things I learned from watching The Strain. The coolest vampire hunters wear fingerless gloves when they do the dishes.
Things I learned from The Strain. Kids still have haircuts like Cousin Oliver.
Things I learned from watching The Strain. If you see a vampire in the sewers, tell the guys in the diner and no one else. This has been another edition of my show. Thank you so much for listening. If you wish to reach me with questions of your own about how Hollywood works, you can always email me at leslie@thefamefatale.com. You can tweet me at @FameFataleSays. Find me on Facebook or Tumblr. And that's about it. What about you?
You know, what? Leslie, I just got a funny text from the film office.
What did it say?
It said if I need information about a particular movie, I am more than free to submit a public records request, and it would take about 15 business days.
They really like you, don't they?
Yeah, they hate me.
So does that mean you don't want to give people a way to contact you in case they want to try to talk you out of spending another $40 on the Kim Kardashian game?
No, I'm currently on the Twitter as CBWO.
Thank you so much, Clint. This has
been
a real
Leslie.
Pleasure. Thank you all for listening. Have a great day.